really approach of Batman. It's really exciting.
Bruce Wayne, Esquire?
I'm Batman.
I am the Prince.
Greetings, Robin's regulars, and welcome to Superstitious and Cowardly, a Batman podcast for the ward and us all. I'm Chris Winia, and I come to you today with some sad news. Last week, my co-host John Pfeiffer passed away. It seems that his family been involved in a bit of a scandal over his grandfather's inheritance, and all the Pfeiffer children have met with mysterious and untimely deaths. But with me is our other co-host, Ryan Fuchs.
Hi, I'm Ryan.
Hi, Ryan. How are you doing today? Wait a minute. What's that on your hands?
What?
It looks like AstroTurf. And what type? The type of AstroTurf that crushed Joan Pfeiffer at the construction yard.
No.
And your shoes are covered in West African ape hairs. Albino ones.
No.
The same great ape that ripped Jonah Pfeiffer apart at the zoo. And that scar across your mask. It matches the nail marks found at the site of Jane Pfeiffer's gangland-style murder. And that mask you're wearing. Let me see this. Sound effect, you have to add that right there. John?
No!
No, yeah, it is. You.
Fine. Are you happy? Foiled again. I can never have any fun. Whatever. Be that way.
You murdered four of your brothers. I didn't even get into the other members of your family.
You didn't even talk about Juan Pfeiffer.
Juan Pfeiffer.
Okay, we're keeping that.
Man, all those J ones, you didn't think of like just a doppelganger Hispanic counterpart?
I just looked it up on like Wikipedia.
Okay.
All right, so after Juan Pfeiffer, how do we transition out of this? Out of this mess?
I think this is the transition.
All right, well, why don't you...
Or just recently, I changed my settings on Facebook so that my mom could see that I had, and other people could see that I post things about doing or co-hosting a Batman podcast. So I had to have a conversation first about what a podcast was, and that took a while because I can't get her to change the input on TV. If you're listening, Mom, I'm making fun
of
you.
She's not.
She's not. So I had to explain to her what a podcast was, and she's like, just tell me what it is.
We don't get picked up on Zoom.
She's like, just tell me what it is. And I'm like, I couldn't do it. I was like, do a
Batman podcast with a friend of mine. It's for the warden us all.
And she didn't get that joke
at
all.
Until like episode six.
She didn't get that joke at all. And she was just really just hating it in general. Well, she'd hate it, but
Jesus
it was just
crazy. I was going to say,
it was just like, oh, it was more of a, that's nice, dear sort of a thing.
It's like, well, this is just another reason why you're a disappointment, John.
Pretty much. And I thought that was the nerdiest thing.
Where are
thing?
Those grandchildren I've been looking?
And I thought
I get that too.
Jeez. I thought that was the nerdiest thing that I could have done this week was explaining to my mother what a podcast was and then explaining to her that I was co-hosting a Batman podcast. However, I upped that when I went to McDonald's for lunch. I just had my Star Wars hoodie on. It has like Millennium Falcon on it. And I got a Pikachu toy because I was like, oh, they got Pokemon toys here. I'm gonna get a Pikachu thing and just ask for the toy and I'm going to be an adult. No big deal. Just pretend I'm buying it for a kid. Worst case scenario. So I order it, and he was like, so what was that? Just whatever Pokemon toy you have.
I'll have one adult Pokemon toy, please.
But he kept saying Pokemon to confirm that I wanted a Pokemon toy. And every time
he
said
it. You
didn't
want the strawberry shortcake one?
No. No.
Don't they usually have like girls ones when they do something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, usually. But I just asked for a Pokemon toy. And every time he was confirming it, he said Pokemon like six more times. And each time, he got louder and louder and louder. I'm like, dude, keep it down, okay? There's a bunch of old people.
Shut the fuck up. Don't ruin this for me.
It was kind of like that.
You know how hard it is to get erection without a Pokemon toy?
But and then I'm like, okay, he's done. We're going to finish up the order. And he's like, yeah, I really like that Star Wars hoodie. I haven't seen all the movies, though, or anything. I'm not that big of a nerd.
There's
and I'm
like eight of
oh,
them.
My God. Well, no, there's like 12 or whatever.
I've seen all 13 of the Godzilla movies. I'm in 30 of the Godzilla movies.
Hey, so that was the nerdiest thing I've heard all week. How are you doing? But that was my, he had to like mention all this Star Wars stuff and was like, yeah, I like Star Wars, but I'm not like too into Star Wars. Dude, it's Star Wars. I don't fucking care.
Like you're going to rip it off and like you're the pop culture police.
I just came over to you and asked for a Pokemon toy. You're going to give me a weird excuse for like not liking Star Wars that much. I'm the wrong audience to defend yourself for. It's just.
You're working at McDonald's.
That was my only up on the guy, actually. It was like, I don't work at McDonald's. And that was my time before recording miscellaneous humiliations.
My time, like you're an old man. Back in my day, we used to go to the McDonald's, get us a Pikachu, but they didn't have Pikachus. They had Raichus. I don't want that fucking Raichu. I didn't put that stone next to my... Is that how you do it? I think that is. Because I had
you
yellow.
You got it pretty right, but I was going to mention... Because
I had yellow.
Like,
the only Pokemon,
Pokemon
game I've ever played is Yellow.
Oh, really?
From back in the day, and it was based on like the cartoon series. So you'd have Pikachu following you around, but you couldn't evolve him.
If you evolved him, put him in a Pokeball or put him in a computer or whatever when you're trading stuff around, it would stop working.
Yeah, so you always
so I was like deathly afraid. Yeah. Well, you always need electric type anyway, so I didn't mind. I'm super excited for the one that's... By the time this episode comes out, the game will already be out, but there's Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. It's going to be like the last Game Boy or DS Pokemon game before they go over to Switch. And super excited for that.
Before they switch over.
Man, like the last like 5 minutes, the last like 5 minutes has now like upped. It seems like I'm constantly upping the nerdiest thing that I've done. This conversation being high point.
If people listen to this, this would be a problem.
Dear God, man, you don't listen with headphones. What's your problem, listener at home? The one guy in Arizona. I know you're there, one guy in Arizona. I see the stats. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Right now
you.
He's listening. He's like, oh shit. And he like deletes everything.
Well, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
Moving on.
Yeah, I don't have nothing.
In this episode, we're going to be talking about Batman 66, The Joker's Comedy of Errors, Batman 73, The Joker's Utility Belt, and for some reason, Detective Comics 235, The First Batman.
Why some reason?
I couldn't figure out the theme on that one.
Well, there's no theme to these ones. It's just I'm going by order from what I've chosen now. Obviously, Joker's Comedy of Errors was, it's kind of gone on to become popular memes. I don't like how I just said that. I was trying to be nerdy, but I just sounded like a nerd doing it.
That's pretty dang.
Did you ever, there's an old website. I don't even know if it's still around. It was called Super Dickery.
No, it's probably around
this guy
somewhere,
that, but... back in the day, like, it was, like, not being maintained very well, so links weren't working on it. I don't even know if it's still up. There's this guy that just went through and, like, found all these Silver Age shit, like, panels and covers and stuff. I actually chose, like, four stories that we're going to cover in the Silver Age just based entirely on their covers. Just because it was...
Because those are good representations of what's going on in the story.
Yeah, it's not. But, like, that's the reason the covers are usually so crazy is it was supposed to make you really want to buy it. There's, like, some... Like, there's this whole section in Super Dickery about monkeys. Because apparently if you put, a giant monkey on your cover, you're going to sell that issue like gangbusters.
Do we need to do that the next time we post anything?
Maybe. So, yeah, the Joker's Comedy of Errors is one that is really popular for reasons we'll get into. Joker's Utility Belt is just kind of, it always seems like they have, back in this day in particular, they were always like, we'll get out of this with my utility belt, or our secret identities are exposed, or this kind of shit. So the fact that they kind of gave that to the Joker, it just seemed like, I don't know, like an interesting like story idea. I don't necessarily know if it really translated to that, but we'll get into that one. And then the last one is obviously is another one of those Batman Origins ones that kind of crops up in things here and there.
So why don't we just get started with Batman 66, The Joker's Comedy of Errors.
Now it's time for The World Today, yesterday. September 8, 1951, the Treaty of San Francisco is officially signed, ending the war in the Pacific. Despite fighting ending a little over 6 years earlier, this treaty ended the post-war occupation of Japan and led to Japan's compensation of civilians and POWs that were victims of war crimes. On the same day, the security treaty was signed that allowed a U.S. military presence to be stationed on Japan's soils. Also, on the 25th, future Last Jedi and best Joker Mark Hamill was born. So now,
I like how you pause, like I'm just going to make a statement, like pleading for Mark Hamill to listen. He don't care.
He don't care. He's not. Did you see, there's some new Justice League show?
Justice League Action. Yeah. I haven't watched too much of it.
No, I haven't watched any of it, but they have like shorts on YouTube that I never stick back.
Yeah,
but there's
he
one
was
where
playing,
it's like.
He was playing the Trickster, the Joker, and the Joker was kidnapping Mark Hamill.
So he's playing like all of them, and then they also got stopped by, I think he does Swamp Thing, which he also voices.
Yeah, like he did. There's like four or five people talking in the thing, and he was all of them. It was great.
And then it's like, you should have known that Mark Hamill is such a good actor. All right, so shit. A bit of a boner just now happened. So Batman 66, which is actually very difficult to look up on like Wikipedia and stuff. Because
are you getting a bunch of Adam West stuff?
Yep.
All right.
So first off, we have The Movie Stars That Died Twice by Finger Sprang in Paris. Call the doctor. Get that or no?
No.
Bill Finger, Dick Sprang, and Charles Paris were the people. Okay. Hollywood stars are getting murdered, and Batman.
Just so you know, I'm going to do a slight little sound effect there.
Just like bum, 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 bum.
I'm talking a lot about sound effects I'm going to put in there, but that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen at all. That's okay. We're not at the fucking morning zoo. Hey, everybody, welcome to Superstitious Power League. Get back. Thank you for coming over here on the morning drive. We got John Pfeiffer and that other guy that I forget. We're going to have a good time.
Did you just forget your own name?
I was going to say Ryan.
Let's talk about the issue.
Okay. So, the movie stars that died twice by finger spraying in Paris. Hollywood stars are getting murdered and Batman and Robin are on the case, but it turns out they aren't dying but are being kidnapped by a film editor to star in his shitty movie. They rescue the overpaid stars, but not before the editor drowns when a dam bursts. Yeah.
That's okay.
Batman 2 and Robin Jr., written by Bill... You've got me wrapped around your finger. Drawn by, are you a fan of Sutter Kane? And Lou, I'm not sure how to pronounce your last name, so I always skip it, Schwartz. With inks by that Paris boy. John actually read this one, and man, we kind of missed out. While tracking some crooks, Batman orders Robin to take the lackey while he gets the big fish. Robin ignores him and almost gets a knife in the face as a reward. After taking them, Bruce tells Dick that he's in trouble, and even though he is just his ward, he loves him like a son. That's legitimately what he said.
Even though you're not good enough, I kind of like you.
And one day he will be Batman 2 with his son as Batman Jr., and he will understand how Bruce feels right now.
Wait, they call it Batman Jr.?
Yes.
Why not just make him Robin?
Oh, it's Robin Jr. I'm sorry, I said the wrong thing. Dick then dreams that very scenario where Bruce retires and he's made police commissioner of the world. That's actually what happened.
Actually, that's a pretty nice future if we're all just a unified, like...
World. Yeah, there's this line where he's like, all the other police commissioners have told me. I was like, there's not a thing like that. So he still wears a mask to protect Dick, but he's wearing like his Batman outfit with like Robin Domino over it. And we see that when Robin grew up, he became Batman too, but it was just like a Batman outfit with an R on his chest. So you knew who was who.
Man, the creative work in that is astounding. Let's go with the story that we're actually talking about.
No, I'm not done yet. They then try to stop Robert. He makes his son, Robin Jr., and they try to stop murderers from stealing Element X, but Robin Jr. disobeys orders and they get away. But it's okay because they take them to their new hideout. Unfortunately, Robin Jr. goes ahead to try to make up for his earlier boner. He plans to take the ship back to Gotham so the stolen booty will be returned, but not realizing that the ship is fueled with Element X to be shot into space, and it's on autopilot. And it's only half-fueled. Dick jumps in to stop him, but it's too late. Fate has sentenced them both to die. So, like, it ends with them both dying and Dick waking up, and Bruce is like, well, I'll go mow the lawn. And that's how it ends.
Oh, what? Okay.
But now it's time for Joker's Comedy of Errors, written by Bill Boner, with pencils by Bond Boner and Lou Boner, with inks by Charles Boner.
Boing. Stop, I can't put that many in.
This is going to be the most childish thing ever. All right, let's do this thing.
So we're going to talk about the cover first. It's the Joker's head, which is alive, seemingly, on top of a giant totem pole that's gone a long distance and is going to fall onto Batman and Robin. I don't know if it's culturally insensitive, if it's just a fun cover. It doesn't take place in the issue at all.
It's also kind of got the Prometheus problem, where they... are very obviously going to get crushed by something, but they don't try to like run the other way. They just kind of stay in the path.
That actually happens more in Joker's utility belt. I'll talk
it
about
does,
that
it
later.
It does. I didn't know if I should mention it though.
It's a really fun cover, and there's a lot of color to it, but at the same time, it's just like a LSD Joker cover. Like, I don't fully get it.
But before we begin, let's take a look at what's going on in other popular titles right now. It seems that Superboy is going to see if you can guess the case of the baffling secret of the golden Superboy coins. Wonder Woman is versus Robot Woman, and Superman has a kissing booth. So thrilling stuff.
I might not get sick, but you're all getting chlamydia. Oh wait, that's not kissing.
Mono.
Yeah, that one. You'll give him chlamydia too. I don't know. He's an alien. It's fine.
You've probably committed some boners.
Boing.
You fucking dickhead. in your time? Most everybody has. History is full of mistakes of man, some of which could never be written off, and some which boomeranged into deeds of good fortune. But only a sense of humor like the Joker's could think of translating boners
boing
into crimes. And when the clown prince of crookdom sets out to recreate the classic errors of history for personal gain, and in addition remedies a special boner,
ooh,
just for Batman. It all adds up. Ooh, this is going to be a good one. I'm in a very good mood today. It all adds to one of the most exciting adventures ever. Fuck off. This is not the most exciting Batman adventure ever. To ever befall a dynamic duo in the story called The Joker's Comedy of Errors.
Every story has to have a title that ends in an exclamation point. Every one. I love this first page because it's just that splash page of just a scene that doesn't take place in the rest of the issue at all. And there's Batman and Robin are swinging into like this exhibit of boners throughout history. But how tall is that ceiling where they can actually swing around inside?
And he's just standing there in front of paintings.
Yeah, it's just the collection of the great boners of history. There's Hitler over there. We got the rendition of what historians think Julius Caesar's boner looks like over here.
Caligula and his horse.
Genghis Khan's boner over there. But no, it's just miscellaneous like scenes or pictures or paintings.
It's
or
what happens in the issue.
It's just, here's a guy that,
don't spoil it.
Space. Stuff like that. But I just love that he actually has an exhibit hall just very briefly of all these boners.
There's like a picture of rocket ship full of element X that young Robin Jr. gets into and sends his dad off to hell. God, it's so funny. He's like, oh no, I've killed us all. And Robin's just like, yeah, you fucking did. I've had a full life. You ain't had shit. And then he wakes up. All right. So
oh, jeez.
Okay, so they go to commit a robbery at the electric company. And since, like, Joker at this point always has to, like, have stupid jokes when he does that, that's his whole MO instead of, So, like, his whole thing is, like, wouldn't it be crazy, guys, sit the fuck down, but only sit, pay for your whole seat, but you're only going to need the edge of it when I tell you this. We're going to...
It's going to be a hard one today.
We're going to rob the electric company, but we're going to turn off the electricity while we do it. And everybody's like, well, all right. What? It's like, no, that's a great idea, right? And he pulls out his gun.
I just like when they're outside the electric company and he's apparently explaining the robbery to them while they're going into the electric company. But it's like lit up like a Broadway show outside of the building.
And they go in through the fucking front door.
Yeah, you don't do that when you're robbing a place? They're going to shut out the power. And then when there's mass confusion, they're going to go into the apparel department, steal a bunch of money.
But they're going to ride the elevator in style. He makes special note of that. So they go down and rob it, and he runs to the elevator. He's like, okay, let's go up. And he's like, you just cut off the electricity, you fucking idiot.
Like, we can't get away now. Oh, shit. Okay, fine. Oh, yeah, I got this. We're going to use the stairs. Well, no shit. Everyone else has already gone down. He took, like, 5 minutes to explain it.
So that's his boner, is that he didn't think that that elevators need electricity.
Did he, like, forget to tell the guy, okay, shut off all the power except to the elevator?
That's a little bit sophisticated for this time. So Batman and Robin show up and stop. Well, they start beating him up.
And like they stop the Joker. Do. And the Joker causes confusion.
He throws a match into something that causes the whole building to go on fire.
Says he throws a match into some photochemicals, like film processing chemicals.
Whichever electric
dude, does the film has. The electric company, they just start processing photos now? Does the Joker just carry around a little bit of like that chemical? Like, apparently the setting was different for it. It's like, hey, we're going to do it at a film processing place. Nah, that's stupid. We'll do it at the electric company. And they just, like, kept that plot point in.
And then, like,
it's just...
It's not like there aren't things at electric company that could possibly cause fires.
Like, why don't they just have the Joker, like, put a hand buzzer or throw a hand buzzer onto, like, a wire or something somewhere? Like,
oh, we got to wait till next issue.
But basically, the Joker gets away while Batman and Robin save everybody in the building from the fire.
Although it's implied that the fire, like...
Consumes the building.
Consumes the building. So the next day, extra, Joker pulls boner of the year. Perfect crime puzzles. These are hard to read. When crime clown runs own getaway chances.
Newspaper
Ben
Joey.
And Robin recover all loot.
Newspaper Joey, I really don't like it when you say boners.
And then there's also a little subtitle that says, other famous all-time boners. That's what's going on in the news
day. It's like the one guy at the newspaper or whatever heard the editor go, man, Joker really pulled a boner. And the guy just like, this is the funniest.
Run with it.
This is the funniest thing ever. We're going to say boners every 2 seconds.
I'd like to imagine that they interviewed like Robin and he's like, yeah, it was a fucking boner, wasn't it? And they're like, we're going with what that kid said.
Did technically Bill Finger write this one, you said?
Yes.
So he just heard the word boner one day and he's like, okay. That's pretty great.
Let's go.
So Joker is really upset that the newspaper is making fun of him and saying that he had like this big boner.
Well, they laughed at my boner. Will they? I'll show them. I'll show them all how many boners Joker can make.
You just need the one, but okay.
Gotham City Rue of the day, it mentioned the word boner.
I'm regretting it now. Like, it's real funny at first, but it's kind of like the B sharps. It progressively gets less funny the more you say it.
Yeah, but we're going to get to a point where we've said it so many times it becomes funny again, and then it's not funny, and then it's funny again. So his plan is to recreate some of the great boners of history. And his first one is going to be the Missouri. It was a battleship that struck oil.
Struck ground.
Struck oil and made it rich.
They got some Texas tea. It's like the Beverly Hillbillies, except it's a whole battleship filled of people. They're going to run aground a ship that's going through Gotham. And they're going to move the buoys so that the ship, you know, misjudges where it's at. And it's going to run aground just like this famous battleship Missouri that I have no historical context for.
I looked up some of the other ones. I didn't look up this one. So there's also this great bit where they're like moving the buoy and one of the guys like, yeah, it's a new ship on its maiden run. The captain ain't familiar with this river at all. And the pilot don't come aboard till they near the harbor downstream. He is so well informed on all this shit.
If he knew that much information, why didn't they just do it earlier?
Oh, who knows?
Basically, they rob the ship during the confusion when it runs aground. Actually, if you could do some reading for me.
So the next day, extra, extra. Stung by his boner, Joker lashes back. Start line, a large diamond collection stolen. First boner crime.
I'm getting overdosed on this boner.
So the next thing he's like, well, we're doing all these boners. We might as well emulate something that looks like a giant boner. And they decide to recreate the Leaning Tower of Pizza. Or Pisa.
Pisa.
Pisa, sorry.
So they go to this guy's.
Racist, actually.
Mamma mia.
Okay, I'm better now.
So they go to this mansion in Gotham that's been brought over from Europe, that, you know, stone by stone.
Yeah, it's a castle.
They have one bell tower, and the Joker's like, okay, we're going to tear away at its foundation. We're going to cover it up. And in a few days, it's going to lean over. We're going to rob the fuck out of it. Get out of there.
And they even mentioned that they're going to take, like, the dirt away so nobody knows. They go so much work into just being able to climb this the next day.
During that robbery, they steal a bunch more stuff. And then we see Batman and Robin at their house. Like, they're unmasking. And the Joker comes over on the radio.
It's kind of weird we haven't seen Alfred at all yet.
He exists, but we keep skipping issues.
You'd think he'd just be, like, in the background going, I'm here.
I think they forget that he's here, too, sometimes.
I think they do.
And basically, they hear the Joker on the radio going, ha-ha, you guys like my boners. Who's laughing now? And everyone's just kind of like, said boners.
What does it mean, Bruce? How can he force you into a boner?
Everyone's laughing at me. Guess what? I'm going to give Batman a boner. And then everyone starts laughing a little bit more.
He snorted. His next boner is that he decides to break one of his guys out of prison the same way that Dillinger broke out of prison, which was with a wooden gun. So he gives the guy a wooden gun, and he's like, I know that's how Dillinger won. He taps his ring.
Yeah, when he tries to threaten the guard to let him out.
And then he's like, oh, that is a real gun, because rings sound like guns, apparently, when you tap them on
that's
bars.
That's a very different sound. Yeah, he has like some weird pinky ring that they let him keep in prison. Like, first of all, guy, you're wearing a pinky ring.
He's also wearing, like, a pinstripe suit.
They look like pajamas.
But, like, he has an undershirt underneath it. It's weird. It's so pointless, though. Like, it doesn't really add anything.
So, basically, they make the guard pull a boner by realizing that it's not really a fake gun.
So, the next day, they go to Commissioner Gordon's office, who they remember that he's a something here. And he's all pissed off.
He's like, I'm worried about the boner he has for you.
He's like, don't worry, we'll catch him soon. And so the next line is, Dick, in this new house, in this new movie, The Greek Victory, they're being filmed. I just wanted to say Dick really loud.
Everyone loves Dick.
So they're filming like a Trojan horse
like a scene
recreation.
Yeah.
Because Gotham apparently has a thriving movie industry.
It's kind of like Springfield, where it's like everything.
Right. It's whatever twice the size of Texas.
It's like whatever they need it to be. I mean, it makes sense. They see like this Trojan horse thing and goes, okay, this sounds like something the Joker would be into for his boners. So Joker and his men not only go into this Trojan horse and hide away to steal stuff the next day, they get dressed up as Roman soldiers because the Joker's like, this is going to be pretty great, guys. We're going to have some fun with this.
Joker's kind of like Andy Kaufman, where he thinks that like the things that like...
Except Joker doesn't do anything original. He's just ripping off everything.
But he does like all this extra stuff that no one except for him is going to find hilarious. So Batman and Robin stop him, but Robin is stopped on some grease on top of the horse for some reason.
Yeah, like the Joker's trying to escape and they come and try to stop him. And again, Joker gets away, but they at least like stop the main part of the crime. And the Joker's still like really miffed that he's like, he's still getting embarrassed during his like grand masterpiece of boners.
But he decided that the best boner is going to be pulled on Batman because they're going to fly from Gotham, which is roughly New York, to California.
This for some,
to testify in a trial. But yeah. He like does radio interference because it's like a cloudy day. So he sends him to England.
He's supposed to, he messes with his radar. I really like how the way the bat plane looks in this. Like, this is the first time that I've seen this version of the bat plane. It's much more like jet like.
And so basically, he's become the new wrong way. What was his name? Corrigan. Wrong way Corrigan. They call him Wrong Way Batman. And this is the one that I actually looked into. In 1939, I believe it was, I think his name was Bill Corrigan, before he became the voice of, never mind, I'm not going to do that joke because it doesn't fit. It's going to be Crow. that's not his last name, though. He was going to fly from New York, California. He ended up in Ireland. And he says, it was because there was, like, cloud coverage and he couldn't, like, see where he was doing. But he was a very experienced pilot, and most people think that he just said that that's why, because he wanted to do a transatlantic flight from New York to Ireland, but he couldn't get cleared to do it. So, like, this became, like, this shows how, like, shitty it was in the 30s with the Depression and war looming, that he became, like, a national joke because of this. Even though it was most likely intentional, he never admitted that it was intentional, but, like, most people are like, yeah, it was probably intentional, but, like, wrong. He became kind of, like, a minor celebrity and, like, a punchline because of that. So this is all based on that, which is actually, like, geez, at this point, 20 years ago? So he still had some legs that this would be, like, something you could reference in a comic book.
But the Joker's, like, tickled pink. Like, he is just like, this is the fucking
greatest
thing.
Everybody loves it.
But I love it. I like the newspapers are reading. I'm going to try to do newspaper Joe, even though I'm not as good at it. Wrong way, extra, wrong way, Batman. Batman's greatest boner.
Joker's threat comes true, makes fool out of Batman. Wrong way, Batman. Lawman aims for California, winds up in England.
Extra boner. Man,
mine changes every single time.
To be newspaper Joe, just yelling boners up and down the street and like, that's his job, getting paid for it. That's pretty great.
So Joker has a boner himself on this because he thinks this is the greatest thing ever.
He is ready.
So Batman arrives back in Gotham. He's like...
with the bat jet on a roof, like it's not going to crumble the whole building.
And with reporters are like, hey, what happened there? And he's like, I don't want to fucking talk about it. Get out of my way. I got to talk to Gordon. So Joker's in his heist, like talking about how he really got Batman this time. He didn't kill him or anything. He just made him look stupid.
They're just celebrating. He's like, I really got Batman with my boner.
And, and he busts in. He's like, we knew that you were going to pull a boner on us, so we pulled a boner on you, and we tracked you down using your radio waves. And Robin's like, we knew we could have gotten out of it any time. We have special wizard armor that makes it so our bat plane can't get taken over.
They knew that they couldn't trust the signal, I think it was what it was supposed to be. But the reason they went along with it is because it gave them more time to track the signal, I guess, which kind of makes sense. But I think they're just covering their tracks, like they really fell for it. And they're like, oh, shit, how do we cover this up? Oh, I know where the Joker is now, so we'll blame it on that.
So they catch him.
Yeah, for something that's so great that starts off so hard, it really ends kind of floppy.
Oh, my goodness, John. All right, so to kind of break that up, let's take a look at an ad. The Further Adventures of Captain Tootsie and His Vacation Time Pal. Seems that Captain Tootsie, who is a large German man with a big yellow T on his shirt, has been training up young boys how to swim better. And he has, you're supposed to take extra breaths, inhale through your nose, and take a Tootsie roll for extra energy. They're really pushing this whole extra energy thing really hard. And so, like, at the they win. they're the new champions, and some guy comes up, he's like, I can't believe you boys actually won. He's like, that's because they had Tootsie Rolls for extra energy. You gonna do it next year? And they're all like, yeah, of course we will.
What ad was, what issue was that ad in? Was that in 66 or is that in 73?
Yep. Oh, I got one for 66 as well.
So what did you think about this,
well,
this particular issue?
Well, before
for
that,
Jokers?
Why don't we do a quick quiz? Okay. After they are picked, will oranges ripen? What do you think, John?
Yes.
No. Unlike most fruits, oranges do not ripen after picked. What is the largest natural bridge in the world?
I don't want to do this.
Can a person go longer without eating or sleeping?
I don't want to do this.
You can go longer without eating.
Please stop.
Are there any traces of Noah's big flood?
No.
Yes, apparently in the Iran desert.
Okay.
Okay, so what do we think about this?
You really wanted to give me that quiz.
Oh, there's another one in another issue we're going to do.
When you gave me the list of the issues and everything, I didn't realize how much the boner part was going to come up because you had to actually, you know, read a page in. And once I saw that, I was like, oh, this one's going to be fun. And then the more I read it, the more I'm like, man, they got to stop saying boner at some point, right? And the answer was no.
Well, it's obviously like...
I had a lot of fun with it, though.
We had fun with it for a lot. It wasn't actually a bad issue if you take that away, because obviously that's not what they intended.
No, I know. As much as we're giving it shit, I know that boner was just more of a mistake.
It's like a gay alt old time, but I thought that, you know... We had a lot of fun with it, but it wasn't a bad issue.
I can laugh at boners.
Either.
Man, I wasted my Dark Knight dildo story on the wrong episode.
You did. But no, it was a fun issue, right?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it was fine.
Next up, we are going to read Batman 73, The Joker's Utility Belt.
Extra, extra, it's the news! October 1st, the first ultra-high-frequency television station opens in Portland, Oregon. Have you ever heard of an ultra... high-frequency TV before, John?
It was on one of my grandma's old turn knob TVs, so yes.
Well, don't you worry about your laundry, forget about your job. Just crank up the volume and yank off the knob, we got it all! We got it all on UHF!
We gotta pay for that.
Is there something I can do to help?
Not unless you've got $75,000.
No, sorry.
Okay, in actual news, on the 3rd, the United Kingdom detonated a nuclear bomb, making them the third nuclear-capable power in the world. Not to be outdone, the U.S. dropped the first hydrogen bomb a month later.
Hold my beer. I'm going to escalate nuclear warfare.
Oh, you think the U.K. has a big dick? Let's show them what a big dick looks like.
Look at our boner.
So, Batman 73. First, we have Guns for Hire by Dick Sprang and Charles Paris. Gotham's criminals have started using guns that have been loaned out to commit crimes, so then they give them back when they're done. And this somehow, when searched for guns that don't match the bullets found, this confounds the police somehow, although they have enough evidence to go on, apparently. Batman goes undercover and finds the renter, that's seriously what they call him, has been doing it, so he stops him.
That seems like a really risky business to be in.
Yeah. Vicky Vale Secret by Dan Reed, pencils by Sugar Cane and Lewis Schwartz, with inks by Charles Paris. When Vicky Vale arrives at Wayne Manor claiming to be in trouble before passing out, the boys are on the case. But it turns out the whole thing was a setup.
What was she in trouble for?
She said that somebody was after her and she just passed out. But it turns out the whole thing was a trick to get them to reveal their secret identities on a microphone planted at her apartment. Luckily, they go back and trick her. We're not going to cover any of Vicky Vale.
I was going to say, like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, Vicky Vale story. And then I thought for a second, I was like, eh, Vicky Vale story, and I just didn't care.
Vicky Vale seems like such a bitch, though. Like, her whole thing is just like, I know you guys aren't who you say you are, so I'm going to uncover you. Also, I think I'm dating Bruce.
Vicky Vale's just kind of bland to you, isn't she?
I don't know, it's one of those characters that she keeps coming back, but her importance is kind of diminished all the time. I remember, like, the whole Batman, like, Battle for the Cowl. She came back. Just for that.
I read that. I don't remember her being in it.
She was
so
like the framing story, I think, and she was in her underwear, and I was like, ooh, it's a sexy Vicky Vale. Let's go on to Joker's Utility Belt, written by David Reed with inks by Charles Paris and pencils by Dick Sprang. It's about time we got to talk about Dick. Do you know anything about Mr. Sprang?
I know a lot about Dick, but I don't know a lot about Dick Sprang.
Dick Sprang was probably one of the most prolific Batman artists of this era, responsible for the initial design of the Batmobile and the Riddler, as well as what is considered to be the iconic golden age depictions of Batman and the Joker. Do you know...
I really did like the Batmobile in this issue that we're
seeing. It was recently redesigned by him. Do you know, like, Batman Brave and the Bold?
Yeah.
Like, the Joker in that, how he has, like, that, you know, his design in that?
Yeah, so it's more of a upside-down triangle-y kind of a shape.
Well, like, as you might have noticed in this issue, that's his Joker. That's kind of, that's considered, like, the default, like, Golden Age Joker. Starting his career in advertising, he moved on to pulp magazines until transitioning into comics when pulp started to be, their popularity started to wane. In 1941, he went to DC and was put on Batman as a potential replacement should Bob Kane be drafted. He pretty much stayed on Batman for the rest of his career, ending it in 1963 on as the main artist on The World's Finest, which we'll look into a little later.
Yeah.
With a few super stories here or there, including the introduction of Supergirl. Sadly, as might have become apparent, he was never really listed as a Batman artist, as it all went to Bob Kane per his contract at the time.
That's you're really strong-arming people if you can get that in your contract.
Yeah, like, everything is just Bob. I mean, even, like, most of these are written by Bill Finger. His name's nowhere on this stuff.
Yeah. Took a while for that to get rectified.
Although, in his own way, Kane did say that Sprang was his favorite, quote-unquote, ghost drawer.
It's weird that that used to be a thing.
That's not just Kane. I mean, look at...
I mean, there's writers that still do that, but for comic books, it's just so weird to me. Like, I don't see that as much
I mean, look
anymore.
At, like, I love Jack Kirby. Look at what happened to Jack Kirby. Who invented Marvel?
According to everyone else, Stan Lee.
Pretty much Stan Lee gets all the credit. Now, part of that is because, like, you know, Kirby passed away a little while ago, but...
At least Steve Ditko gets some credit.
Gets the credit, and definitely Jack Kirby gets a lot more credit now. But
yeah.
Still, it's predominantly like a Stan Lee thing.
I like that DC tries to claim Jack Kirby a little bit more.
Even though they're kind of shitty to him, too.
Yeah.
They canceled all the New God stuff when it was just starting to really hit. But whatever. Luckily, however, in the 70s, he started to receive the credit he deserved, and though he mostly stayed retired, he did enjoy doing the convention circuits and occasional jobs here and there, such as the Dick Sprang Remembers covers for Detective Comics in the 90s. He also frequently surveyed and photographed areas in his home in Arizona and Utah, including Discovery, the Defiance House, something no non-native had allegedly seen up to that point. In 1999, he was inducted into the Will Eisner Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So he definitely has gotten the credit that he deserves now, but at the time. Les Schwartz was kind of there too. I think we've mentioned his name quite a bit.
Yeah.
And inks were always done by Charles Paris.
Yeah, we've said that name like 15 times.
It would
so
be
far
nice
there.
If like I had started doing these type of things when we first started so we'd get biographies on them, but I'm not going back.
All right, so
yeah, because we were fucking idiots in the mirror. I was like, oh, I wonder if Bill Finger is actually doing something. Like, we started looking it up.
Yeah, to give credit, Chris does do quite a bit of research before we record an episode.
Yeah, now. We didn't back then. We sound like fucking idiots. Hulu made me look like an asshole again. Because right after we said that, like, Hulu was like, the real Batman's dad. They did like a documentary on Bill Finger. It's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, it's like Bill and Me or something like that, right?
Yeah.
But let's talk about the Joker's utility belt.
What do you think about the cover?
It's really fun, and it's goofy, and it's horrific all at the same time.
It really is horrific.
It's just the Joker. It doesn't look like a fake like Joker mask on top of something. It looks like the Joker's like head has been attached to all these random things on an oversized utility belt. So there's like a spring-loaded junk. There's what looks like a weird Allen wrench.
They're all like dragons and monsters, and one of them has like a suit on for some reason.
Yeah, they don't really resemble a lot of items. They just seem... It's just like weird Joker snakes coming out of these capsules on a utility belt.
And it also continues our theme of fighting in giant versions of things.
But the weird thing is, like, the Joker like belt buckle on it, it just looks like Eddie Munster, like his hairline.
So before we get into the issue proper... let's look at our buddy Blinky, who asks, what do you know about other people? It's been wonderful being with you these past few weeks. I've learned so much about America. Sure, Cosette, you can tell your friends in France all about our big building and electric gadgets and... Oh, no, Blinky. They know about those things. I'm going to tell them about the way you live. They'll be surprised as I was when I tell them how the family discusses things.
Well, wait a second, Lucy. Let Allergy, fucking named his kid Allergy, give his side of the story.
How Lucy takes charge when Miss Biggs has to go to the school committee meetings?
That's almost as good as Mom's, Lucy.
What's going on?
I'm reading this comic.
Okay.
And how we all went to church together and later to a picnic.
Rustles up some cattle.
What's so surprising about those things? Don't you have all that in France? Yes, but I have a different picture of American families. You see, Blinky, people of different countries sometimes have funny ideas about each other. We keep forgetting that even different people are often pretty much alike in the things that make us happy. I guess you're right, Pop. Come to think of it, maybe I have a few funny ideas about people in other countries, too. Don't be racist. All right, let's get into our issue.
No. We're going to talk about this because you're reading an ad in this, and I don't know where it's from.
Front page.
I already zipped ahead to where this one was. It really threw me off.
I expected you to. Plus, that's a bit of a cutie, too.
All right, so for our first page of the issue is the cover again, but with our Dead Sea Scrolls, but it's actually on a Joker playing card, and that's really nice. And it's basically just going, hey, what if the Joker has a utility belt? They say a lot of words, but that's basically, hey, what if the Joker had a utility belt?
It also says a lot of words, but then it's like, don't waste a moment. All right, so apparently we start in the Gotham Museum of Modern Art, which is the Comedians Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so they have like Hardy and Laurel and Hardy. That's the one. Charlie Chaplin, a bunch of other like artists in the background. It's
none
just
of
a...
the Marx Brothers, though. Without Zeppo. I remember this time. I was so bummed when I went home. I was like, God damn it, it was Zeppo.
But either way, the Joker is trying to rob the museum, and he's running through this comedian's exhibit at the time.
I love how it, like, Batman attacks him and goes, Batman again, always my nemesis. No fucking shit.
Apparently they advertise when they're going to go like to a different area to testify in a trial. Why not rob them then?
Joker, we've done, what, maybe 20 issues? You've been in about 7 of them. Since, like, you've been in every single episode since your reduction. Of course he's your fucking nemesis.
You had a real big boner for him a few issues back.
No, man, you're going to give it to him hard. So... a painting falls on Batman's head.
While they're trying to grab all the henchmen and stuff, yeah.
It's a giant one that should have taken it off. So they decide that instead of, like, fucking shooting him in the head, and this is going to come up later as well, it's just like, take him to my hideout. I want to toy with them.
So they capture Batman and Robin.
They don't, like, bound their hands or anything, though. They're just casually walking out of the building.
Yeah, like, I've seen Batman do some weird ballerina stuff and, like, stretch Armstrong his torso. I'm pretty sure he could, like, maneuver out of this.
I don't think we've seen that since, like,
those occurrences have dropped, like, tremendously.
We kind of haven't talked about, like, how the suit has changed, too.
It's much more blue. It's a little more streamlined. The emblem's bigger on his chest.
One of the hallmarks of Dick Sprang is that he gave him a very strong lantern-like jaw of justice. Like Space Ghost. And the Batman mask is now, like, the black face that kind of just bleeds into blue that will become popular for probably until the 80s.
Yeah, we definitely see it in 70s stuff and everything, yeah.
So he gets away, but... oh, wait, did we...
basically, no, you're fine. The henchmen are trying to take Batman and Robin to Joker's hideout, and... they escape by, like, throwing a gas pot on the ground, and they attack his henchmen, and then the Joker gets away. And the Joker is super upset. Like, he already had a place in, like, in Batman, like, the 66 television show with labels on everything, had a spot called Reserved just for, like, a jewel heist that he was gonna... That was the reason why he came to the museum.
I didn't notice that the first time I read it.
Yeah, it's just a big... he has a showcase, and it just says Reserved. It's a big empty spot. Like, there's not even a glass case there. He was like, I was going to put these jewels right here.
So he's not even spending what he steals.
No, he's just like... he just wants his own little, like, exhibit and everything.
It's like the Grant Morrison comic where Joker's like, I could have spent this $1 million with donating it to children's charities, but instead I bought this helicopter with my face on it.
Okay. So the Joker, and the basics of it is the Joker's upset that he couldn't get his jewels and everything, because apparently he's still into the jewels. He's mad about that, right. And he's mad about, like, the Batman getting away, and he's always like, that utility belt, it's always that utility belt. I know, I'm going to make my own and not have an original thought. Again, this is like the third or fourth time they're just ripping off other things. So he goes through the trouble of making his own utility belt. And he has...
for simplicity's sake, I'm going to skip ahead and just kind of read what's in it. He has a hand buzzer, snake pelts, which he throws in the expanded giant snakes, sneezing powder capsules, itching powder capsules, a water-squirting police badge with bulb and hose attached. That's a wordy one.
A false cigarette pack.
With jumping jack mechanism inside. Exploding cigarettes. An eyepiece, which leaves the viewer with a black eye. I don't know how that's...
They never use it.
That's like the only one of this that they don't use. Mexican jumping beans. The flower pellets that burst into bloom. Playing cards and a small cork, which they keep mentioning.
So the Joker is introducing this utility belt to one of his henchmen, and he uses one of the exploding cigarettes on him, and it really scares him. He finds it like, this is the funniest thing. And the guy points to the small cork, and he's like, what's this for? Ominous, ominous, ominous.
It's for your butt.
The Joker keeps the utility belt on him, and later on, some mobsters try to rob him for all the jewels that he just keeps.
He has on display. They're walking in, they're going to work with him. It's like, holy shit, he just got them on display?
Well, we can just steal this stuff.
Yeah.
And they go to try to rob him, and the Joker ends up using like these those exploding snakes or whatever on him and scares the guys. And they don't say what they do to the mobsters, but they probably kill them and leave them in a ditch somewhere.
They make them dig. They make one dig the grave for the other one.
So we fast forward. Batman and Bruce and Dick, they're in the street clothes. Like they're going to some gala.
People. I don't know if you knew this, John, but they're the same people. Don't tell Vicky Vale.
Oh, my God. Bruce and Dick are looking at this boat, the SS Gotham, that's going to be launching later on in the month. And at the same time, the bat signal goes on and they're called away. Apparently the Joker is at like the opera and he's going to do some more crimes.
Pagliuzzi?
I cannot.
It's the,
I'm going to sound like uncivilized swine.
All right. So let's just stop. He's at opera clown or clown opera.
And he's basically holding off another heist. And two security guards stop him. I think they're security guards. They might be police. They have the same effect. They don't really do anything. They're holding him up, and it's like, okay, they don't have any weapons. We can cuff him. And they forget about the new Joker's utility belt.
So Joker's like, I'm just going to adjust my pants. Bam!
He uses a hand buzzer like when they try to cuff him, and then he just punched him really hard in the face with his other hand. He could have gotten... The other guard could have still shot at the guy, but
I'm
that
assuming his
issue.
Henchman lunged.
Either way, Joker holds another... The utility belt gets Joker out of another bind. And then they explain what's in the utility belt. And then, again, they go through a couple more cases where the Joker is, like, using that police badge that squirts water.
He's getting chased by dogs and they throw sneezing powder on him, which dogs?
It's like a weird montage of just all the items that he uses. And the squirting badge thing is just weird to me. Like, he has to take it out of his utility belt, then put it on, and then squirt people. Like, he doesn't just go ahead and squirt people.
There's
last
steps, and he's also like, you stupid rookie, you could have been a hero. You captured me all by yourself, but you couldn't resist staring at the badge I slipped onto my lapel. So he punches him right in the fucking face.
No one's going to care.
He's running away from some people at the opera, and he throws some jumping beans on the drum as a distraction. Not necessarily, like...
That's not how jumping beans work.
No, but at the same time, like, if you're trying to, like, think of different ways that, like, jokes, novelties would work, it's not an awful bunch of ones.
I guess not. And then there's a real quick, like, newspaper Joey. Jokers, I'm not even going to do newspaper Joey's voice.
Is there one?
Yeah, it's
a... Joker's utility belt, Plagiar City. Clown, crime clown steals leaf from Batman's book.
Artist's conception of both utility belts. The battle of the belts has begun. Which will win?
That's just some really bad reporting, because there's no way they have any confirmation on like any of these things.
Also,
you know, Batman has gas pellets and a batarang, and that's about it.
Also, the kerning, I haven't mentioned this. It's not great. On all of these.
The kerning. Either way, they're trying to... Batman and Robin are still trying to pull whatever evidence they can and try to find out where the Joker's going to strike next. And then in the newspaper, like how they find 90% of their clues because they don't do real detective work, they find out that a professor has a rare collection of native masks, and the professor's name is Laughwell. And they're like, well, the Joker's an idiot, so he's going to rob this guy.
And because this is a Silver Age comic, there are giant statues all over that they can fight on.
And they do. The Joker is fighting Batman and Robin, and Batman tries to throw what he thinks is gas pellets. And then all of a sudden they explode into flowers.
Yeah, this really was fucking weird.
Yeah, apparently at some point in time, the Joker had put on a duplicate utility belt on top of Batman's real belt. Like, he wouldn't notice that. Like, wouldn't you notice the weight, or that a belt is grinding on top of another belt? that you're wearing? Like, if I wore two belts at the same time, I'm pretty sure I'd notice because it would kind of feel weird, right?
So, like, actually, I'm kind of enlarging this just to see what I did. First off, there's this really good background moment where apparently Robin has taken one of the African shields and he's, like, fighting a guy with a spear with it. It's a bit goofy, but kind of funny. But he's, like, the bit where he tackles the Joker, he's got his arm pressed up against the wall. There's no way he could slip a belt on there.
Plus, the Batman already wears two costumes at the same time, so you think you notice he was wearing three belts.
He dressed in layers.
So either way, the Joker escapes again, and the Joker's super happy that his utility belt's been working really, really well, and he's been getting away with a lot of shit because he stole another idea from Batman. And then he finally reveals what the cork's for. He's going to use the cork on a champagne bottle that's going to be used, that's filled with gas, and they're going to use it when they crown the SS Gotham. First of all, if that was what they were going to use it for, why is he carrying the cork in the utility belt? What purpose does that serve?
Also, how does replacing a cork, like, it's the gas that's going to do it?
He doesn't need the cork, necessarily.
Also, like,
not
home.
That cork.
Also, what kid is reading this going, Jesus Christ, what the fuck are they going to do with that cork?
When are we going to get to the fireworks
factory?
When
are we going to get to the cork?
They go the next day, and Batman and Robin, right before they, because they're the ones that are christening the boat, notice that this bottle looks like it's been tampered with. It's put together really shitty.
Well, the paraffin wax hasn't aged. And as we all know, paraffin wax is known to discolor with age.
Oh my God, they actually need a little bit of
detective work. I'll give them that.
So they use a different champagne bottle because they have extras. I guess that kind
of
makes sense.
There's going to be a lot of drinking there.
So they use a different bottle and they're like, hey, we christened this boat, and they slap it against the boat and it breaks. And the Joker's like, oh darn, my plan didn't work. And then some drunk bitch gets up there and is like, I want to have fun too. And happens to grab the gas-filled champagne bottle and just whacks against the boat. Like, who let somebody just do that?
So they pick up Batman and Robin. Again, they don't kill him. And they go and they put him on a conveyor belt in front of a giant Joker bust that has fire in the mouth.
I think it was just like a furnace, and they just put like a Joker thing in
front
of it.
Big Joker, yeah, face in there.
But I really like the conveyor belt. It's just, it's not even a real conveyor belt. It just has a big roller at one end and a big roller at the other end, and there's no support in the middle at all. Like, that thing should be sagging pretty bad. They basically threaten Batman and Robin. It's like, hey, you guys aren't getting away. We're going to torture Robin first. And they put him on the conveyor belt, and he has to run away from this fire. And the bit that we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, there's no reason why he can't jump off of the conveyor belt.
It's a real Indiana
Jones.
Oh, no,
I'm going to get shot?
Kind of. They're faced with guns all the time. They usually just dodge it and stuff. Like, there's no reason that he felt compelled to stay on the conveyor belt. But either way, Batman gets kind of sassy, and he slips his hand into, like, Joker's utility belt.
He grabs the snake pelts and throws it into the gears.
And that gums up the gears and those poor, poor snakes.
Then he shakes out the sneezing powder.
Like, he shakes out the whole entire belt. And everything's going crazy. Like, the Joker's like, my eye! And everyone's sneezing and itching. And
Robin throws some oil that was on the conveyor belt.
No, it shows it. Robin grabs the badge from the belt, takes the trouble of putting it on, and then he shoots the Joker in the face with whatever was in the badge at the time.
No, it says that, nice of your conveyor belt to have a full cup of oil, Joker. So he has done so much for
this.
But
you see that he's wearing the badge,
yeah,
right?
He's doing it through
the
badge.
So he grabbed the oil, put it in the badge, and then put the badge on, and then shot him with oil? This is so convoluted.
And so
come on, Dick.
They rip the conveyor belt off and wrap them all up, and Batman puts one of the giant flowers on his head, which it stays on there the whole time. And so they take him to Gordon, and he's like, I never want to see another belt again. Gordon's like, well, I was going to make you the foreman of the belt factory in prison. And they all have a big laugh.
They say that like it's a big threat and everything, but like, you're going to give the Joker that much freedom? Like, this is a joke, right? Like, you need to, like, not do that.
Thus
all
ends.
Right, aside from that stupid ending, how'd you like the story of the Joker's utility belt?
They put more effort into what he was actually going to do with it. It was nice that they, like, everything that they set up, they actually used.
Not the eyepiece.
Except for what the fuck are you going to do with the eyepiece?
Well, that's the thing, though. It's like, why include the eyepiece in there? It's like, I'm going to make the Monopoly man wear this monocle, and it's going to get him real good. It's the point of that. Okay.
But no, I liked it.
It was goofy, and it was fun, and it was actually a nice idea of, like, even though I make fun of the Joker ripping off and not having an original idea in a few issues, it was nice seeing the Joker, like, well, Batman's got a utility belt and he has a bunch of gadgets ready at a moment's notice.
Yeah, it's taking one of
it
the
makes
things
sense that I would actually it's taking one of the things that works.
Yeah.
And it makes sense that someone would try to duplicate that sort of a thing.
And if anyone's gonna do it, it's gonna be the Joker.
Yeah.
Because the Penguin would just like have a whole bunch of umbrellas, which yes, I'm pretty sure is one that I decide not to look at that do the same thing, so.
And coming next we have Detective Comics 235, The First Batman.
Before we look at the last issue of the issue, we're going to have a new segment here. Something that you guys don't know about John is that he really likes to make sense of everything and put it in
nice
like
little
some
boxes.
Type of like, yeah, nice little boxes.
The guy from Arizona that listens, I think he's heard this bit, but
let's I'm not going to say what he doesn't have, but let's just say that I don't know that he's a fantastic counter. But this seems to go in line with something somebody that is a very good at counting would do. I remember once when The Flash Rebirth came out, John was talking to me. He's like, "Hey, did you see? He's coming back. He didn't die. How are they gonna like mention back in Quiver how like they went to heaven and Barry was up in heaven?"
Oh
with,
God, I did say that. How do you remember that? That was
because
like,
it was crazy.
That was like 8 years ago.
And like, so that's just kind of like John's like frame of mind. It's like, of course you're not going to mention that. That was like a 15-year-old comic at that point. So now I'm going to ask John a series of questions. This is a segment we're going to call John's Headcanon. He can answer.
I feel like this is just going to be making fun of me. So, okay.
What you think the answers to these questions. So what does the Joker smell like?
Flowers.
Why?
Because he had a big flower on his head in the last comic we read.
Fair enough.
Do you mean on a regular basis?
Yeah.
I imagine he smells a little bit like a chemical beauty product kind of stuff, like after you just spray something, like that kind of smell.
I always kind of thought he was kind of acidic because he fell into acid.
Okay, so we're kind of on the same line.
I felt like John
Pope. Kind of that chemically kind of smell.
I actually did this because there's this bit in a John Pope comic where Robin is being wrestled by him, and he says that he smells like formaldehyde that like he's put a bunch of perfume on. Because he's, like, egotistical and he doesn't like that he smells weird.
Okay, so it's some kind of chemical smell, so we're all in line.
Do you think Dick Grayson wears the Robin shorts under his regular gear?
Yes, they all wear two outfits. They all wear extras on top of extras all the time.
How the hell did Bruce Wayne build the Batcave without anybody noticing?
That's the one that I just go, Wizard did it. So, the cave itself technically always existed, but we're talking like all the framework underneath of it, like,
yeah, because it's a fucking castle now.
Yeah, it's like all the things that are holding these like steel plates up for flooring and all this other stuff.
A trophy room.
How long did they have that mute guy that was working on the Batmobile?
Harold was around for a good couple of, like, in Batman terms, it was like 2 years.
The first 2 years, or like 2 years after the first 2 years?
A little bit before Nightfall to No Man's Land.
Okay, so he wasn't around in, like, the 70s where, like...
No.
Like, current continuity still kind of covers, like, some of the stuff in the 70s.
He showed up in, like, the mid-90s. I meant early 90s. Maybe late 80s.
I don't know. A wizard did it.
Because that's one I can never notice either. Okay. Does Batman give Alfred Father's Day presents?
Yes, when he remembers. But only when he remembers. Like, he probably forgets, like, half the time.
Do the other boys give Bruce some?
No, I think they give it to Alfred.
Oh, that's a good answer.
I think they give it all to Alfred.
Have Batman and Catwoman had sex in their costumes?
Yes, dear God, yes. That's in current continuity. They've done that a couple of times, like on a rooftop in public. So this is me johnning it up. They do it in the New 52 run, and it was really off-putting. Like, not that they were having sex or whatever, but that they were showing them getting to that point way more graphically than I thought they should have in a regular like mainstay
title. Yeah, I can see that.
Like, it was really graphic. Like, they show a lot of weird things in comic books anyway. No, it was like super graphic, and like they're basically like doing some weird dry humping on a rooftop, and like their outfits are half off, and I'm like, they're gonna see your identity, Bruce. So they do it then, and they do it in Tom King's.
Do you want the mask on or off? Off, please. Too bad.
They do it in Tom King's Kurt run. They do it like that again, too, I think. And Bruce and Cat.
This is exactly what I wanted.
Bruce and Selina Kyle getting together, depending on how you like that relationship, I can deal with it either way. It's when they do that kind of stuff. And I don't mean just like a quick kiss or something like that. but full on like doing it on a rooftop, and it just seems so careless, especially for Batman.
I love how your thing is that, like, oh man, his secret identity. John is stuck in the Silver Age. What if Vicki Vale came up with a picture?
It's kind of graphic for readers. A little too graphic, depending on the age group you're going for a main Batman title to be, you know, in terms of practicality. And then for in the comic book universe, his identity, and he's way too vulnerable in that instance. And if you're thinking about Batman being cold and calculating and careful and having plans on top of plans on top of plans.
That's a very good point, actually.
It's the weakest point of him. He's the stupidest when he's around Selina Kyle, and that's probably why I usually don't like their relationship. They're doing some weird, like, post-engagement storyline right now in Tom King's run, and I actually like that.
Does Robin stay awake at night thinking about all those he has killed?
No, he's way too happy and go lucky for that.
What religion is the Penguin?
Technically, he's part of, his family is part of the Gotham Elite from way back when.
Mm-hmm.
Dutch?
That's not a religion.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I was thinking of nationality. I don't know, some kind of Protestant.
I was thinking Catholic or Jewish, but like a hidden Jewish.
Do you know what if there's a real answer or no?
No, I didn't look it up. This is all about you, not me.
Some Protestant, I don't know.
How much do you think Bruce sleeps every night?
I think he just power naps at like 15 minutes at a time. I think I remember that. I remember reading that, and I think I've talked about it in TV shows like every now and then.
What is Bruce Wayne's sexual orientation?
Cats.
I could see Bruce being bi. I'm just going to say that. I have no problem with that either.
I don't necessarily have a problem with that, but I never thought that about Bruce. I thought that about Catman. It's been confirmed about Catman.
Catman.
But I never thought about that for Bruce. Bruce always seems to be going after... Maybe that's why he can never stay with a woman for very long.
There's like all this like subtext that I don't think is intentional, but like he always hangs out with boys, and he has like... His most intense relationship is with another man that has white skin, and... And none of his relationships with women really last, and they're always kind of like
even Batgirl, any woman, like any female character, even like in current comics that he works with, he doesn't work with them very long. Like Wonder Woman's probably the one he works with the most, but like Batgirl, I guess he's working with Orphan a little bit, which is Cassandra Cain in current continuity.
Oh, I love Cassandra.
Yeah, she's back. She's not Batgirl, but she's there. But spoiler, he doesn't spend a lot of time with. He doesn't spend a lot of time with a lot of, like, any of the female Bat family members. He doesn't spend nearly as much time with.
Because that's the thing I loved about Cassandra Cain in her original run, is that he was, like, an awkward dad to her.
He tries to do that a little bit here, and that is James
Tyrion Lannister.
I can't remember. I can't pronounce his last name right.
Obviously, John has not watched Game of Thrones.
I have. I just thought it was a stupid joke.
I have not.
James Tyrion? I think that I'm pronouncing that right. He's not going to listen to this anyway. If he does, I'm very sorry. But the current run of Detective Comics is super good. And they try to give those moments to Cassandra Cain and to Tim Drake. Like, they take those characters that people really loved in the 90s and early 2000s, and he's really been spending time with them and trying to develop them a little bit more.
All right, and last one. Do you think any baddies have taken advantage of a tied-up Batman? Looking at you, Harley Quinn.
Yeah, Oh, wait, no, I was thinking of Green Arrow for a second. Technically, that was Shadow.
That was Shadow.
I assume Talia has done it. You know what? Yes, Talia's taken advantage of Batman, because at some point they take his DNA and make Damian Wayne as like a test tube baby.
Oh, no, they imply that it was a rape.
Jesus.
He says...
How'd I forget that?
He says, like, I remember being drugged out of my mind and put through some type of experiment. And he says, and you performed magnificently.
Ooh.
Ooh. All right, so that ends our first issue of Batman's headcanon, of John's headcanon.
Let's never do it again.
No, if you would like to email us any questions you'd like to have for John, what his opinions on this are, put John's headcanons in the subject line so he doesn't read it, and email sac.alfred@gmail.com.
I guess you could also send it on Twitter. We are at SACBatPod. I'll see the emails, too.
Yeah, but you won't look at him because it'll say, don't look at it, John, you're naughty. That's what you have to put in the thing.
Let's talk about Batman.
Don't you know being naughty is illegal? Batman's going to come in.
Let's talk about Batman 235, the first Batman.
Headline, September 18, 1956. The Fabulous Moolah wins a 10-woman battle royal to become the first ever WWE Women's Champion. or WWF Women's Champion at the time. Actually, it was WWWF. She would win it for the last time at the age of 76 in 1999. That's legit.
Okay.
Like, I was looking through and I was like, I don't want to just do some stupid wrestling one, but there was nothing else that happened. But what of Detective Comics 235, you say? Well, it seems one Ray Raymond has found himself caught in the hour of hoaxes. And John Jones goes to the circus to catch a thief in The World's Greatest Magician, the 11th appearance of the Martian Manhunter.
He never turns into a Martian.
He never does.
I read that.
Some would say that the Silver Age has officially begun, but let us focus on...
I think when you see Martian Manhunter, that counts as Silver Age.
Some people do say. Others say it's when Flash is first shown. We're getting in there, though. If you'll notice, at the very top of this issue is approved by the Comics Code Authority.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So we're definitely in there now, even though we're kind of in a gray period. I'm in a gray area right there. So shit's about to get wacky. But let's not focus on that. Let's look at the efforts of Bill Finger, Sheldon Mordoff, and Stan Kay in The First Batman.
I want to talk about that cover. I like that apparently they have a colorized film in the beginning of that. It's just Batman and Robin watching a film canister or watching a film, and it's a picture of what seems to be his dad, like as the first Batman in quotations, punching some mobster in the face.
I also love, yes, Robin, the man wearing that old-fashioned Batman costume was my father. Old-fashioned?
It's when they call him the first Batman, it's super misleading.
It is. So let's just take a quick talk about what the outfit looks like for those that aren't looking. It's basically Batman's regular outfit with Robin's pixie booties. And it's, no symbol on the chest. It
even and no
has
gloves.
The yellow belt on. And then the mask is more of like a masquerade mask.
Yeah, it just kind of comes up like weird horn
like
things in
ears.
The front. Yeah.
And then like the cape is more like wings.
Yeah, they're kind of almost like glidery looking things in terms of like they're really straight and rectangular.
We begin on our splash page, which has Batman pointing to a costume through his cape, I might add, somehow. That this is it, Robin. The costume of a Batman who fought crime before I started my own career as a crime fighter. Very misleading.
They don't talk about it that way in the issue at all. Like, this is like a scrapped page from the story that they just repurposed to beginning.
So we start out in the attic where they're apparently cleaning it out because apparently, again, they forgot that they had a butler.
Yeah.
Dick opens up a secret compartment in Thomas Wayne's old desk, and they find somehow like an entire Batman costume is just shoved in there.
It's like in a really small drawer in there somehow to be a hidden compartment.
There's also a diary and a film canister.
Why hide the stuff away?
There's no reason to hide this stuff away.
You could have put it in like a bank safety deposit box or if you thought it was really important, but like to hide it that way makes no sense.
They leave it like the film running longer and like it turns into like Martha and
some
Thomas
weird sex
just
tape.
Having sex in the costumes. And so he becomes like Plum Man from now on.
I am the knight. So they find this outfit. They're, you know, I don't understand it. I made the first Batman costume years after my parents were killed by a robber. They also forget that Joe Chill was a thing.
Well, no, they don't.
Well, for a brief second, they say it by a robber, and then they talk about Joe Chill.
Okay.
They go again about how he's a master scientist, and he's a really good athlete, and that he's going to be like a bat. And then they talk
they
about Joe Chill real quick.
Redo what they did in the last issue that we're in.
They talk about Joe Chill really quick, and then they say, Joe Chill getting murdered, like, in three panels. And then in the last panel where they talk about it, he says, he's dead. His own crimes finally caught up with him. You gave him up, and then he went to his buddies, and they killed him out of, like, a weird blind rage. Like, you killed him. It was your fault.
It was your fault, but he's glossing over that.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I didn't. He's starting to plant the seeds of, like, he's gaslighting Robin is what he's doing.
And Robin's like, is that what happened? I wasn't there. I guess that's right.
Sure. Like, I don't know why he's trying to talk everybody else into it. And they find the canister, and they find the journal, and then they start watching an old masquerade movie.
A reel-to-reel. Dateline Gotham. Young gadabout Thomas Wayne just won a costume masquerade as a giant bat. But some crooks came in, and he started punching them. To fuck. Turns out that he got threatened because they needed a doctor.
Yeah, for some reason, these mobsters that need a doctor went to a masquerade party
with cameras rolling,
and they go to find one, and they find, you know, because you're a doctor, I think you have to kind of identify yourself, even like,
well, you know, doctors always dress up as bats at costumes. That's how you know.
So Thomas says, you know, that was me, and through the journal because the film cuts out through the journal, they realize that the monsters
the film didn't go with them to it, too. Yeah. Wouldn't that be convenient?
You know what? They would have done that if they thought of it. But the journal talks about that Thomas was brought in front of a mobster, that they, you know, he needed to save his life and take this bullet out and stitch him up. And the whole time, Thomas is not stupid. He knows, like, okay, after this is done, there's quite the possibility that they're going to kill me or do something to silence me. At the last moment, after he saves this mobster's life for whatever reason, I guess because he's a good guy. Whatever. Fuck this mobster. Basically, he just escapes real quick, and then he testifies against him. And then the mobster that he saved, I think is Moxon.
Yep.
Moxon threatens him in open court saying, I'm going to kill you. And it never comes back on him for some reason. They basically know that Joe Chill is the one that was contracted out to kill his parents.
Well, he says, I'm going to get you. And then he spends 10 years in prison. And then he gets out of prison. By that time, Bruce is like, Thomas is wealthy. And he says, I'm going to get you, but I'm going to do it so that no one will know it's me.
Isn't that when you go to the cops and say, hey, this guy threatened me. If I die, give him a look. Like,
we have all the stuff on record.
This is reminiscent. I think
this is why I'm getting a videotape of him. You see the camera crew that was next to me when he threatened me. I have a videotape of it to show everybody.
I have a journal entry. This guy, this issue.
He also looks like a real greasy fuck too in the one panel we got a close up of him on.
This issue frustrates me more than the other two that we read, and I think it's because there's so many of these plot holes in it that it's reminding me of like the first few issues that we read, where it's just these stupid mistakes and judgments, and I can't even suspend belief for this because it's so stupid. It's so stupid.
Let's move on. So they've decided to reopen the Wayne murder case because they don't really have any evidence. They don't have any evidence.
No, Bruce already wrote case closed in that panel in very nice cursive. It's done. It is over.
One person's already died because of this. So they go to Commissioner Gordon, ask where Maddox is, and Gordon's like, of course I'll give you some guy's address. He runs a blimp company.
Yeah, in Coastal City, which I don't think is supposed to be Coast City. I think that's just a happenstance, right?
Probably, but I think we are about the time where he started showing up, though.
Green Lantern. I think Green Lantern is like 51.
Yeah, so he should have been. And that might have been.
Dang, they missed a real great chance for like a Brave and the Bold kind of crossover.
Oh, we'll get into those. So while they're putzing around
looking at this blimp company,
Robin commits a huge boner and hits a can, and so they get him.
Get him real good.
Get him real good, and they also steal a panel from the cover from Batman issue 9.
Do they?
Yeah, the whole... It's an iconic scene where like there's a flashlight, and Batman's like covering himself, and Robin's like, oh, fuck!
Oh, you're right.
And then they throw a sandbag at Robin's head for some reason.
Yeah, they basically go for broke, and then when they
aim for the kid.
And when Batman, and you see that his outfit's actually starting to tear already?
Yeah, they keep tearing the outfit, and like they show him with like a torn up outfit the whole time.
Yeah.
But he doesn't realize it for like two pages.
Yeah, that was really, I had to go back and reread when I saw that. So Batman's outfit's starting to rip, but when he's in, like, I guess, a police station, he basically finds out that, Lou Moxon, I'm charging you with the murder of Dr. Thomas Wayne. And he says, oh, that's all. Like, they don't go into, like, why did we fight you in the first place? Like, they still have, like, a reason to look into this guy, even if...
And keep in mind, he didn't murder anybody right now. They should be like, no. Fuck this guy. Let's get you into the jail. You just beat up a blimp owner.
Yeah, so the guy says, you know, if that's all it is, I'll take a lie detector test and prove my innocence. Lie detector tests can be faked, but they treat it as like it's gospel.
Well, he actually says like, well, there's no way you can fake that.
Yeah, they point blank say it. And
this thing that's not admissible in courts anymore, you know.
I don't think it ever was
it? I don't know if it ever was, but he seems to think it was.
Historians can email us at sac.alfred@gmail.com.
Yes, please email us. We're desperate for them.
Please be a historian.
We're going to be like, yeah, give us emails. And then, like, people are going to actually start doing it and be like, you fuck this up, you fuck that. And it's like, hey, you guys can stop.
Yeah, we're kind of opening that floodgate a little bit, aren't we?
Yeah, let's also get some slash fiction between me and John.
God. All right.
Yeah, don't do
that. So the guy takes a lie detector test, and he passes. And they let the guy go, and Batman still doesn't like him. They still think that he is up to something, and Gordon calls him and says, hey, the guy was in an accident, and apparently that's a clue, and Batman's a real doctor now, and he automatically knows the guy had amnesia. That's how he faked it, because amnesia happens and is a super common thing.
Well, especially at this time,
this is getting into like the cartoony, like reasons for amnesia, or if you hit yourself twice, it like reverses it.
Don't say that's getting into when last issue we had the whole Catwoman thing.
Oh, yeah. Just at least she was whipping cats, and that made it fun.
She was, too. And then so, she was saying the name of him, too. This is Tom. He's a Russian fire rat.
Here's
known
Bootsy.
For his temper.
Here's Bootsy. It looks like he's wearing socks.
Here's Fractious Pete. He's dressed up like a pirate. So they find out that, and this is like the dumbest plan. They have their blimps go to high rises, and then they sneak down on a rope ladder and steal from the high rise.
You're literally advertising where you are.
There's a giant neon sign on the blimp that says SS Oil.
They know it. If somebody gets robbed and like, hey, did you see anything around there that night? Well, there's a big blimp that was over top for like an hour. I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
I know thanks to like a Batman the Animated Series, they have...
They make it common look.
They make it like that there are like police blimps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't think there were ever blimps that were really over...
It was kind of like a Rocketeer kind of a...
Yeah, I think that was just kind of an aesthetic. But again, could be wrong. Right into Bat Alfred.
No, you know, don't give the. I don't want them to have the email anymore. I don't want to hear about this blimp.
Yeah, so don't rewind.
But they catch the guys in the act of robbing people, and they fight them in the blimp. They lose track of them, and for whatever reason, Robin's like, "Hey, your outfit's worn out. Maybe you should wear your father's costume because your outfit's all ripped to shreds." And you're like, "That's a good idea."
Oh, we did gloss over the fact that he's like, Robin goes, "Why the fuck is the Bruce Wayne outfit? I meant the Thomas Wayne outfit with him." He's like, "I just feel like it's like my dad's here with me."
I kind of felt that a little bit. Like it was like, okay, you miss your dad, and that's kind of a nice gesture. You could have just brought the mask, left the rest of the outfit.
Because it's the same goddamn outfit.
So he brings the outfit with him. He's like, okay, good idea. I'll change in this outfit since mine's all torn to shreds. And as soon as I read that, I knew that Bruce Wayne, Batman himself, is a big fucking liar. He's a big old phony. You know why? Because when he was in a freaking root cellar, he had a spare outfit that he could throw on, a freaking knight's outfit of armor. And he doesn't have a spare outfit on him now for this? What's going on with you, Bruce? You okay? You get amnesia too? You forget you have another outfit under that one?
So he busts in, and I have to actually say that they draw like the Thomas Wayne Batman outfit. Like he looks kind of
demonic. Yeah. They make it look more like horns than ears, really.
So obviously, since this is a fucking comic book, him jumping in the costume makes him remember. And he immediately admits to his crimes and runs away and gets hit by a fucking truck.
You notice how Batman's gotten better at killing people? So instead of like him throwing him off of a roof and hoping they don't die, it's more of like he ran into traffic or he ran and confessed to a bunch of mobsters that went to a blind rage and killed him. Like he's being careful and letting other people do the murdering, but he's instigating it. So even look at Robin. He even brought a kid along with him to throw the blame on if something goes wrong.
It's like that Doctor Who quote, "I got so clever that like I didn't start killing people. I just made them kill themselves."
Still makes you a bad person.
Right.
Batman basically he's like, I wanted to take him alive. Sure you did. To stand for his crimes, but his own guilt convicted him. You killed him. You did. And then they hang up Thomas Wayne's costume in the Batcave behind a glass case. And that's like the first time we see a costume kind of hung up in the Batcave, actually.
One that will show up often.
I like how Grant Morrison uses this later on.
Well,
too.
That's but what I was going to say.
And that's the button on this issue is, you know, they solved the case. This guy isn't a problem anymore. And the costume's now in the Batcave hanging up.
So how often do you think this comes up?
I think that this doesn't come up very often until Grant Morrison really picks it up.
That's actually not true.
Really?
Do you remember when we were talking about, I don't remember why we started talking about, but I kind of told you, we were talking about Joe Chill. How in the 90s he was made innocent for...
I think we talked about that.
We talked about that briefly.
A couple episodes.
So Moxon actually shows up in, I think it was the Greg Rucka run.
Alive?
Yeah.
Or it was a flashback?
Yeah, with like hints to this storyline.
Which makes sense. They kind of reset the story, the continuity.
But it never really went anywhere. And then obviously...
I hate when storylines die and you tell that like... There was either a writer change or something else happened that they just forgot. They just drop off these bits of stories.
He got into the whole Bruce Wayne murder thing, which became like a whole thing. So obviously, in Batman RIP, Rotten Purgatory, that's what that Dr. Hurt says at some point.
Let's talk about him instead.
God, I don't even know. Like, we could have just made a whole podcast on Grant Morrison's run. The bad guy, Dr. Hurt, claims to be Thomas Wayne and wears that outfit
to try to convince everybody.
Well, just to fuck with him, really.
And that's the thing. Like, that wouldn't mess with me that much because Thomas...
It'd mess with Bruce.
I guess, but it's not like... I don't think Thomas Wayne made that outfit in the first place. So he bought it somewhere. So it's not like it's unheard of to like... I'm not... So let's say I knew somebody and they died on Halloween and they died in a Power Ranger costume. I'm not going to be mortified because I see some kid walking down the street wearing a Power Ranger costume.
But that was like legitimately... Something. Never mind. I'm not going to get into this with you.
Hey, remember that John Headcanon game? This is what it is when we're not playing.
All right, fair enough. This is also what it is when Chris doesn't write down his recollections on things and just kind of wings it, because I can't just barrel through with my next sentence.
But I will say that I like this story, not necessarily on its own. I like the story for what it influences later on. Like, it still has good bits and pieces. Like, you know,
the amnesia bit was stupid, though.
The amnesia bit was stupid, but it gives you the sense of the kind of person... However brief, how the kind of person that Thomas Wayne was, that he wasn't necessarily, he wasn't not, you know, he wasn't stupid, he wasn't Bruce Wayne like either, but he was, you know, reasonably smart and he was capable.
And all Waynes just have to punch their problems.
I mean, it gave you a sense of the character at least a little bit. And then the way it influences the costumes and everything later on, how other writers pull from this a little bit is really nice and interesting. But on its own, I could take it or leave it.
Yeah, it's not the best. It's actually kind of a rehash of the Joe Chill one.
In a really stupid way.
Actually, now that you're talking about it, I was like, yeah, this was kind of shit, wasn't it? He tries to frame this guy. He's not able to, and so he shows himself in front of it, and then the guy kills himself.
My biggest John complaint is that he doesn't have a spare outfit already. He always wore two just in case all the time, and this is the time he doesn't have one? Come on.
And on that note, let's go to the aftermath. That about does it for another thrilling, in quotation marks, issue of Superstitious and Cowardly. But what's coming in the future? Well, we got a bit of a doozy from 1958. Batman 113's The Batman of Planet X. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, we have another story, which is from a couple that I've based solely on the cover. It's 1959's King Batman the First from Batman 125. Also, something I noticed when I was looking at that issue is the secret light of life of Ace. That's right, the Bat Hound is coming to the Bat Pod. Is this lineup a dream, John? But how could it be? I hold the Bat Radon in my hand. So why don't you tell Robin's regulars how they can stay in touch?
You can find us on Twitter. We are at SAC BatPod, and you can use that hashtag to reach out to us, or you can use our more popular hashtag, at least with us, Robin's regulars. Or you can email us at sac.alfred@gmail.com. We'd love to hear suggestions for episodes, see artwork that you might have made of our heroes, or anything at all, really. SAC episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find a full list on our website listed in the episode description.
And if you're sitting there underneath the hot Arizona sun and you really want to help out the podcast, feel free to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That's really probably the best way you can help us out, because you can help us be seen a little more. You can basically just write down first and then do 5 stars and you win. And you'll always win.
And with that, I have been John Pfeiffer.
And I've been John Pfeiffer.
Boo.
I've been Chris Winia. This portion of Superstitious and Cowardly brought to you by Thor Ragnarok.
Nope.
Is that what it's called even?
It's called Ragnarok. You okay, don't know how to pronounce it? You pronounce it right.
Okay. All right, so let's actually do this. Are you recording this?